Backcountry.com is an online outdoor gear and apparel retailer carrying thousands of brands and products for mountain biking and your everyday outdoor lifestyle. Not only does Backcountry have the widest assortment of gear and apparel, but the heart and soul of the company lies with their Backcountry gearheads. These gearheads are former pro athletes, Olympians, and all-around experts that are available 24/7 by phone, email, and chat for one-on-one service, product recommendations, and to ensure you have everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. For the entire month of August, Backcountry is running their semi-annual sale, which only happens twice a year. Take advantage of the final days of summer and save up to 50% on huge brands like Patagonia, The North Face, Arc'teryx, and more. Go to www.backcountry.com/singletracks and use the code SINGLETRACKS15 to get 15% off your first purchase. Some exclusions apply. That's backcountry.com. Check the show notes for the link and coupon code. Hey everybody, welcome to the Singletracks podcast. My name is Jeff, and today my guest is Harry Malloy. Harry is the brains behind the Flowstyle riding apparel brand. He's been racing top-level downhill for over 10 years. Thanks for joining us, Harry.
Thanks for having me. It's a joy. It's my pleasure. Cheers.
So what was your first introduction to mountain biking?
Well, I mean, it's probably quite the typical story, but my parents were quite into cycling and outdoors in general, so I guess just got into keeping fit and healthy with them. It's just the cycling, as far as walking, cycling, and playing other sports, I guess just clicked, and I just loved it. So we just carried on doing that more and more. There was, but is not anymore, unfortunately, a place called Penzest Off-Road Cycling, which was my first place that I came off of, like a gravel path, really, and started doing jumps. And it's an awesome bike park, really. It's got jumps, it had downhill, they held really cool little events there. It was just really the essence of cycling, and probably why we all love it and love the industry, and everyone's so nice, aren't they? So that's pretty much where it all became apparent. And yeah, just fell in love with it and the people that are in it, and you know, it's quite, as I'm sure you understand, it's quite addictive from then on.
Well, how did you get into downhill specifically? I mean, was that something your parents introduced you to, or did you start out doing more like cross-country style and then sort of discover downhill on your own?
Well, the place that I just talked about at Penzest, which was a local, is 20 minutes away. It had downhill tracks there, and it wasn't really the first thing that I enjoyed or really even looked into. It just had a massive, you know, like those craters in the floor, where there was just loads of jumps in there, and you fly down the side and you take off, and that's what really got me going at the start, as kids do, sort of thing. And then there was the events that I mentioned. There was maybe 100 or 200 people that go to these cool little small events that were just organized for fun, against the clock. And that was my introduction to downhill. By all means, there was no mountain or even as much of a hill really to race on. I think the winning times were between 40 and 50 seconds, which,
wow.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much, but that was pretty much the same sort of format to downhill. We had a race, and it was still some sort of hill to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly didn't have to worry about altitude there, but in the south of the UK, that's what we had and what we cracked on with. But they had some awesome tracks there, to be fair, and that's what really got me into downhill. It was really based around jumping as well, with it not having much of a descent. We spent a lot of time pedaling across the hills and making big jumps to make it look and feel a bit more impressive.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it all begun.
Does that make it a challenge for you to train, or is that all you need? I mean, I guess downhill, you can do as many laps as you want and get all the descending in that you need. But would it be easier if you lived somewhere, you know, say where there were bigger mountains, bigger hills to go down?
Well, yeah. I mean, from then we had to go a lot further afield. Obviously, Wales and Scotland in the UK, I mean, they're completely the opposite opposite sides to where I grew up and lived, but that's still a matter of hours and driving, and probably doesn't seem too far in respect to like the likes of yourself. But we, you know, 5 hours would get me to some of like the best places really in the UK to ride. And with living around London, there's tons and tons of tracks, and I don't think you really need to, for skills based stuff, I don't think you really need to go to a mountain. But it certainly is. It was a bit of a surprise to be riding for like 5 minutes or longer when I did get to some. And that was a pretty hard thing to adjust to. Obviously, yeah, your hands pretty much become the handlebar and you have to peel them off. So that was a that was a definite thing to get used to and get fit for. But yeah, I mean, from when I began till now, I pretty much spend a lot of time living in the Dolomites in Italy. So I guess that's kind of in the step to get to a bigger mountain with bigger hills and a better facility. But by all means, I don't think the UK held me back at all. There's some awesome riding there, definitely.
Yeah, awesome. Well, how did the Flow Style race team come together?
To be honest, I've been in a few pro teams on my way through, and when I got to a certain point, I just kind of really wanted to create my own thing, or my own team, mainly for, you meet so many people in the industry, whether it be sponsors or so-called sort of competitors that you race against, that everyone's your friend. And it's a fairly small industry, I guess. And everyone just gets along together so well, and we all do it for, I guess the reason for that is we all do it for the passion behind the sport and the reason why we all love it. So I guess putting the team together was me trying to make my version of what I think would be good for whether it be sponsors, getting my friends together, everyone in the team. Obviously you have to spend a 7 month period of time usually with the people and with your friends, so it's good to be able to pick the right people, pick the sponsors that you get on really well with, and that stand for the beliefs and for the right things that you want to promote. Because if that's the job, then you get a lot of more enjoyment out of promoting the things that you like. It doesn't have to be your own brand, but the essence of those brands that we stand for is pretty important, I think, and I think it probably is to everyone. It shouldn't really be a forced upon thing. It comes quite naturally in our team. So, yeah, I think for that we're quite lucky, really.
Well, are there things that you wanted to do differently with your own team? I mean, you said you were a part of other teams before starting Flow Style. So were there things that maybe you didn't like about those other teams that you wanted to change with your own team?
There's nothing too specific. All the teams I've been in, I've learned from, and they've all, to be honest, they've all been amazing to get me to where I am here today. So there's nothing at all that I didn't like, other than now that I've grown a bit of a feeling towards brands and what they're about, and have been fortunate enough to work with quite a few. It's quite nice to just select the ones that maybe stand for different reasons. So whether they're in it for production values from the start of whatever they're making, to make it sort of a responsible sourcing for the whole way along to when the end user uses it, or whether they're just an awesome brand that like to hold like awesome videos or shoot awesome things with us as athletes, and we get to do some awesome things with them. There's so many different reasons, really, but I think one of the main things at the start was seeing that the big teams were really their budgets were enormous, and I quite like the way that you can actually change it quite efficiently to make it work. I feel like on a way more efficient level. So I maybe saw how some of the teams, I'm probably not firsthand, but you can see from the outside how some of the teams just really do waste a lot of money on different things and product, whereas our team kind of does it way more efficiently. We don't need and we don't have the biggest budget, but we certainly have quite a punch when it comes to getting in the media and our results, obviously, and everything. So I kind of feel like we're maybe a little bit more of an efficient way of doing things for sponsors.
Yeah, interesting. So how do you, as a team owner, manager, identify talented riders?
Well, I do a lot of coaching myself in the UK alone. Or not alone, sorry. I do a lot of coaching mainly in the UK. And the UK definitely brings some good talent. So it is quite hard to pick and choose between. But the underlying thing is you have to get on with that person. They have to be, and for me, that's quite easy to get on with most people, I hope. But then they really just have to be the right person. Obviously, it stems from being a good rider. There's no doubt about that. To get noticed by anyone, I think you have to get the results or start off by getting some results in some way. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the fastest rider out there. It could just be that you promote yourself really well, whether it be on social media, that's just a hugely still growing part of the job, or if you're just a nice kid at the bike park and approachable and friendly, or like comes and asks about anything. I mean, we're blessed to be in the industry we are, with so many nice people. So
yeah,
it's cool. You meet so many people, and I think it's kind of luck of the draw. You meet people, and sometimes they're just fit for the job, and that's their next step in getting some support from a team and giving them a go at racing at the World Cups, or whether it be nationals or whatever level they're at, really.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, obviously brands sponsor riders and, you know, field a team at the World Cup to get exposure for their brands. And it's interesting that, you know, I mean, one way to do that is to win, right? I mean, everybody talks about the winners and the top riders, but then the other way to get that exposure is, like you're saying, you know, through social media or having a personality or that sort of thing. And so, yeah, that's an interesting approach. And I think, yeah, it makes sense with what you're saying about efficiency too. And in terms of funding, obviously it is expensive to field a World Cup team. Where do teams typically get their funding? Is it all just sponsors, just the brands that are kicking in all the money for it, or are there other sources to consider?
I think you can go outside of the box quite a lot. It doesn't have to be a brand that's necessarily a cycling specific brand. There's, to be honest, at the level that we're at now with the likes of Red Bull TV and the amount of views that they're hitting for, especially like Veronica's runs are all, she's a favorite to the TV with the position that she's in the World Cups. We can pretty much target brands that just want the visibility of on a global status, really. Maybe before that, it has to be a bit more, it has to be a bit more direct in what we can do. But obviously that global presenting them on a global status, it really, really does help for the larger, more global companies. It's also, it's not really just racing. That kind of stems back to what we talked about with other riders, like our rider Chris Cumming. He's a junior this year and was last year. He lives pretty much on a bike park. Does loads of things to help out with the bike park. So him as a rider is just an awesome ambassador for all of our sponsors all the time. Is pretty much, even before he was a professional mountain bike rider, or racer, should I say, he was also a professional mountain bike rider and ambassador before that. So everyone does their things alongside Veronica does a lot of hotel bike camps, women's camps and things when we're not racing. So everyone puts into to making it a pretty awesome package, really, 24/7 for a brand.
Yeah. So what is the payoff to racing on the World Cup circuit? You know, we talked a lot about getting exposure for sponsors and brands, but are there other things to be gained in terms of product testing or that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, for sure. So we definitely do a lot of product testing. We've done a lot for Fun. Fun's one of our long-term sponsors. And we've done a lot of product testing, whether it be handlebars, pedals, chain devices, all the components they do, really. They're always throwing questions at us. And I think for them, it's pretty good to be able to, hopefully it's pretty good for them to just throw some products our way and we just go batter them down a mountain and see how they hold up, or, you know, like they have a different idea towards something working, then we can give them feedback on everything. So feedback is definitely something that we offer. And I think that's not too different, but we definitely like to get involved in the feedback side of things and developing the products that we ride. And yeah, I mean, it's really not all just racing and promotion from the races, because that really, although it's a big hit on the media side of things after a weekend for a few days, we're also ambassadors and riding bikes the rest of every day of the year, pretty much. So whether it be coaching camps or going to visit shows and standing on the booth and giving, you know, getting for like customer relations and chatting with the public and getting to know people and their passions for riding as well, I guess it's just a full-time thing. You have to be a willing ambassador the whole time, which we all are, because we just love it. So
beyond helping with logistics and gear, how does the team support athletes? I know you mentioned that you do coaching. So do you provide coaching and training to your athletes, or are they sort of on their own in terms of that sort of development?
Initially, it's I guess it's probably fair to say that the guys, they probably ask for a bit of help here and there, for sure. I think Veronica would be open for me saying that, but I definitely help her out with lines in the weekend, and we wouldn't necessarily call it coaching. That's all part of being a team, but
yeah,
we all just help each other out. So I guess as a rider and a manager, I kind of sort of balance the tightrope, or however it is said. With the team, it brings a lot of other opportunities as well, whether it be not necessarily the coaching side of things, but whether we go to the certain type of events that we go to around Europe. I think that's a really good, like the European Cups. It's not as popular, obviously, as the World Cups, but I think it's a pretty important place to go to help you with the World Cups, or to step through as a rider, especially from the UK point of view. Like, we've got a great race scene there. And a lot of people just base themselves straight from the UK to going into World Cups. But I think it's pretty important to go ride and get experience on all those tracks and mountains that you wouldn't necessarily see, that are so similar to the World Cup rounds. And especially like the format of the races as well. Doing a race in the UK is usually just a Saturday-Sunday affair, whereas you go to the ones in Europe and there's rarely Thursday, but almost definitely you get the Friday practice and then a whole other day on the Saturday before you have maybe qualifying Saturday, or even just going through to the race on the Sunday. So yeah, that style of racing we introduce, or definitely just love to do it as well. And I guess there's also the side of our sponsors that we work with, those guys as brands. We've been working with them for a long time now, and they like to use us for promotional videos. And obviously, if you're a new rider in the team, then it's pretty awesome to go on a video shoot who knows where it's all sunny, or down the side of a volcano, or, you know, something pretty exotic and elaborate. That's usually the case with some shoots that we do or have done with bluegrass. They got some pretty crazy ideas. Veronica was riding down the side of an active volcano once. I was swimming in the off the coast of Italy in a helmet and all the riding gear one year in Finale. So yeah, they've got some pretty cool outdoor wild ideas that they like to put into video and stuff. So that's also pretty cool thing, that you're just fully getting involved with the team, and everything that a team sort of holds is what we do. I guess it's kind of attractive too, and all a part of the learning curve, I guess.
Yeah. So are your athletes then coming up with their own sort of training plan? I mean, you as the manager say, these are the races we're going to do this year. And then they sort of figure out like what they need to do to get ready for those races, or are you involved in sort of helping them craft training plans?
So it depending, we have a pretty much a very loosely set out schedule compared to most teams. I think I quite like to keep it open in terms of how many races and what races we go to. I list everything down and have a chat with us all together, just to see what we think. Sometimes it tends to end up getting a bit hectic, which is why you can only prioritize so many races, and everyone loves to race, so it's really, really easy just to end up racing week in, week out, but then you lose all the training that you've worked on over the winter. So I have to kind of say, you know, it'd be really good for a break those 2 weeks before what's maybe, I don't know, a World Cup or something. And likewise, at the start of the season, it's good to, I try to plan out a few, maybe two races before the season, so you can get back into racing and thinking about all those things that you've forgotten again, and how to think about what gear you're in when you're going down, or whether the braking points or whatever, how you're walking the track and so on. It seems like it comes naturally when you're doing it, but then you soon find out that you forgot to, I don't know, clean your shoes the night before, and you've got to put on wet shoes or something like that. So yeah, it's good to do a couple of warm-up races just to hit back into reality before you go into the season as well. And I think with us all sort of deciding on what we want to do, it just works out better for everyone. We prioritize the World Cups because that's essentially what is our pinnacle of our race season, but there's so many other cool events, Crankworks, the European Cups and so on, that are so important to us, and are a big help to the sponsors and brands. And I guess that's why they sponsor us as well, because we have a bit of a different approach and don't just prioritize one thing, but we cover a big area of events and races.
Well, it's July now. Does it look like the 2020 race season is salvageable at this point? Like, what are you looking at for the rest of this year? Do you think there will be much racing?
Oh, good. I don't know. To be honest, I think no one can really know or say. This is hopefully it's a once in a lifetime situation that we're in, and who knows? We've been talking with our trainer a lot. So we have our trainer, Alan Milway, as well, who takes care of the physical side of things. That's for sure. And it's been probably quite a tough job for him, because he wants us to come into the season absolutely fresh and ready for it, but also trained. So it's quite hard to set his goal for us to come in for a peak, and probably to make that peak last for a month and a half as it stands with the season as it is.
Yeah.
And how they've made the World Cups, packed them all together at the end. But yeah, as you say, it was just 2 days ago, I believe, that Leger was cancelled, mm-hmm. and a week before that, Lenzerheide. So I think I would love to see at least a couple of races or a few races, and only time will tell, but hopefully we get a couple in there so that we can remember 2020 as a not just a year that we didn't race, but only time will tell, I guess. And it's, I don't know, it's from our point of view, it's not all negative, really. We've been traveling around our local areas and exploring a lot more on the bikes, and been able to meet again loads more people riding bikes, and yeah, it's a funny time, isn't it? But I think it's not all negative. Like we've had an awful lot of fun. Just yesterday, I was in the centre of the Dolomites, pretty lost after about a 5 hour trip around on the bike, pedalling up at I think it was about 3,000 meters high, and it's the sort of stuff that you just don't get to do. It's too busy with races and events and so on, and especially in the summer, when it's possible to do these things when snow's not around. So
yeah,
either way, I would absolutely love for us to get back racing this year, and I really do hope that we can get to a few. But otherwise, we're not short of things to do, and how we can get out and promote and do some awesome things. So
yeah,
either way, hopefully it'll be for the best of the world. Yeah, and like I say, no one can really tell whether there's a salvageable season or not. We can just all keep our fingers crossed and hope.
Well, has your team or any of your athletes been able to do any competition this year? Were you able to do any like local races early on, or are local races opening up more where you are, or has it just been complete no competition in 2020?
Things were going quite well at the start. Obviously, we went out to Portugal for Lusa, not for the World Cup, but we went out a few weeks before to do some testing with EXT. We put some times down, although it wasn't a race. We haven't really done any events as far as competitive events go this year, but it was going awesome. Coming into it, we have just done an event that's not really an event, not really a race, but was timed, that was sorted out by Windmasters and the IXS Cup guys, which is the European Cup guys, and Schladming Bike Park. So it was really cool. We got to go to that, and there was a lot of media there doing their thing and reporting. There was 30 of us, like 30 invited riders to just go do some hot laps at Schladming. So that was a pretty cool event to go to, and crazy really to see all your mates and remember what it's like to sort of meet up with people and like-minded people as well out on the trails and put some times down. That was really cool. But as far as events go, I mean, we had it pretty locked down where we've been. We could still train in the UK. We were in the UK, based in the UK over the majority of the sort of like 3 month time that things were worrying, so to speak. So we could still go out and train for our, like, once a day, get out on the bikes and go train a bit. So that was good. And then whilst Italy was pretty seriously locked down, weren't really allowed to go out, we weren't there. And then we've come back as it's eased off a little bit, and we can go out into the mountains now. So yeah, it's been definitely different times, as you say, but yeah, we've been able to get out and still do a few things. We've done some bike shuttling stuff with the Plosa guys, just half an hour down the road from where we are in Italy, and yeah, that's kind of it. And as far as events goes, we had to kind of come up with different ways of coming across on social media, as everyone pretty much was glued to Instagram over the time and whatever. So yeah, we did some little picture videos and I don't know, all sorts of just funny little different things.
Yeah. Well, what is your goal for the Flowstyle World Cup downhill team?
Well, our goal is to do well for sure in the results, but we're not as a team, we're not results driven. So I think as a manager, I think that the pressure should be completely from yourself. Maybe just the way that I've managed the pressure in the past, but and it worked for me when there's not outside pressure from the team to, like, you've got to go up there and you've got to win, because I just feel like that's not gonna help. And I think it does for some people, but it's not really the way it worked for myself. So I'm kind of just preaching to from where and what worked for myself. So the goal really is to promote the brands well professionally, and yeah, I don't know really. Just give guys the chance to come through. I think it's a big one. Support, as we've said, like, support's pretty needed for such a expensive sport, or the traveling side of it, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive thing to be able to do. So to be able to support new riders coming up and talented riders, to give them a shot, I think that's a goal for the team for sure. And also, like I said, like to provide brands, and not necessarily up and coming brands, but the brands that we believe in what they're standing for and so on, a more efficient way of doing so. So yeah, it's kind of hard to put numbers on things, but essentially we're not going to cost hundreds of thousands to be able to get your name on the World Cup circuit or promoted on our athletes. We can do things pretty efficiently, whether it's we'll stay in a, and when it comes to expenses, we won't be flying anywhere business class. I think that's the best way of putting it. No, we do things right, what I feel is right.
Yeah. Do you think downhill mountain biking is a team sport, or is it more of an individual pursuit?
Well, as the outside, I think it comes across as quite an individual thing, because obviously you're against the clock. When you're racing the clock, there's no one else there at all. It's just you, the track, the bike, and the time. So essentially, it is a completely individual sport. Like, in those moments, no one else can help you do what you've got to do. So in that respect, yes. But from the support of a team, whether it's 5 seconds before those beeps go and your mechanic's behind you with that bottle of water just in case you need it, or a spare set of goggles, or, you know, and they're having the support, the setup for, like, yeah, it's the list is endless really for it to be, for it to be more of a team thing than an individual. Yeah. And I think what makes it so friendly and good is it really does balance between that line of being an individual sport and a team sport. In some team sports, you get quite a lot of, well, you do get rivalry. That's probably wrong to say you don't get rivalry, for sure. But it's, I think you're not, though you're part of a team, you're still separate and you're doing your thing when you're racing on your own. The team helps you the whole way there, but then when you're just racing on your own, obviously no one else can help you, so it's all down to you. You need a bit of everything, and the reason why it's so nice, I think, is because you're there's not 100 of you elbow to elbow or shoulder to shoulder as you're going down. It's just you and the time. So that guy that's just beating you, as much as you're like, oh, how did he beat me? Or, you know, you hear a lot of riders be like, oh, I hate it when I get beaten by him or her. But realistically, everyone knows as a rider, it was just down to you riding in those few minutes that you've been going down. So there's no blame on anyone. I think it's what makes the essence of everything so nice and friendly. All your competitors you can't be like that towards each other. It's got to be friendly because of that.
Yeah. Well, since downhill racing is very much about the rider versus the clock, is there a lot of strategy involved in a race or a race run, or do you look at it as more of an overall strategy for the season?
I think they're also individual, you know, like I think when it's, for example, Val d'Isère last year in qualifying, we got to the top and it absolutely peed it down. Like it couldn't have been any more, like it was the craziest storm I think I've ever been in. We had lightning hit the chairlift, everyone was going mental and it was dusty before then. So as far as strategy goes, I think there was a lot of people trying new strategies and ways to be able to get down that track safely and at speed, whether it be changing tire pressures, I'm not sure. But yeah, I think strategy as a whole, everyone as an athlete probably has their own strategies and that gives them their self-confidence in how they do things.
Well, downhill mountain bike racing seems to be dominated by a few big names every year. So how does funding play into the success of an athlete or a team? You mentioned that your team does things a little bit differently on, you know, sort of a different budget. Does that constrain what you're able to do? Like if you had a lot of money, how would that even give you an advantage?
For sure, the financial side of those top guys, it must help, and it would help a lot. This whole sport, from a confidence point of view, it's crazy. Like the balance of being arrogant and confident is quite a fine line. You probably see that from the posts of those guys at the top.
I mean, can you buy talent? Is that the thing? Like if you hire the best athlete, or are they the best athletes because they have really good support?
For sure, it's a balance of that. That athlete has the skill, the underlying skill and ability in the first place. Anyone at any level making it possible and getting good results doesn't have to be winning, but if they're doing it on, they have to have that underlying skill and ability, of course, but the financial side of things will help them a lot. It's at that level we're talking, right at the top, it's minimal gains of, like, do you have something that can easily be perceived as really, like, fortunate or a bit of a crazy point to have is maybe, like, having a dietitian or a chef, a chef, for example, always with you. It seems like a very luxury thing to have, but when it comes to eating the right things at the right times through a race weekend and also through your diet, that's going to give you maybe, it's hard to put a percentage on it, but if it gives you another 1%, like that's the difference between first and 10th place. So
yeah,
if everything's there, that gives you the confidence, that gives you just that little bit extra. So I guess, yeah, money does go a long way, but what I try to do in our team is to have everything you need. So we've, like, the main thing is having a mechanic. Like, you don't have to come down or you don't have to know everything about your bike to be able to race. Like, if you can come down from a run, maybe you've broken something, or maybe you just want want to know that your bike's all right. You can just chuck it in the bike rack, say to the mechanic, please can you have a look at my bike, or this is what's not happening, or my suspension feels a bit too harsh in this part of the course, what could I do? And just having the really, like, the necessity at the top level to do well in terms of support. So yeah, we're certainly staying at nice places in accommodation, but we're maybe not in a 5-star hotel living it up with a bottle of champagne in the hotel room, you know.
Yeah,
that sort of stuff is obviously not needed to win a World Cup, and I think a lot of people would agree. But
yeah,
so it doesn't hold us back.
How do you balance running in a apparel company alongside a World Cup downhill race team?
Well, it's not just myself. I have a lot of help, and without that, I don't think it would be possible. That being said, it's busy to say the least, especially on say, a race weekend when I also would like to focus 100% on the team and on myself getting results. It's not easy, but obviously, I just try and surround myself with by the people that can help, or whether it be, someone taking care of different sections. I mean, even in our team, although I am the set manager, everyone has their role to play. Like I say, we are a bit of a different team, and in efficiency, although I'm the manager, everyone does their own parts of it to make it all possible. That's probably another very important part in our team, is that you have to be willing to do the cooking in the evening as well. That we don't, like I've said before, we don't have just a chef to do that, and I don't think that's needed. That's truly needed at the level that we're at and where we're going. So I think you can always afford to spend the time in the evening after qualifying to cook up, whether you're one of the riders, the mechanics, or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, a good balance and delegating each other jobs. I don't think there needs to be really any hierarchy sort of style to what we do. As long as everyone has the understanding, it all gets done.
Yeah. Well, you have a good perspective too, as you know, both the brand / sponsor of the team, but also as an athlete, and sort of understanding how to balance those two and understand the needs from both sides. So Flow Style Racing came together quite quickly after NSYNC Bikes decided to pull sponsorship. Are you going to be looking for a new bike sponsor or other support next season?
Yeah, we're really lucky to have the partners that we're working with at the moment. All of those were really, everyone's been super supportive through that time, end of last year. So we're very lucky that this season would have been absolutely fine, and is fine to still have us as athletes and ambassadors. So we're fortunate in that respect. And for next year, there's certainly a few talks going on at the moment with different brands, and we'll see where we are with a bike brand. Definitely.
Are you looking to grow the team, or do you have all the riders you can handle? And how do you decide, you know, how many athletes to have on a team?
I think as far as downhill teams go, having three or four athletes, that's as big as a team really gets. There's not many out there that have a lot more. And I think that's because it would just be very, very intense having... Even four is quite a lot when it comes down to sort of like the concentrated weekend of a race. It's there's a lot going on, especially when it comes to the timing of it all. Even as it is, when we're to go up as a junior, as we stand at the moment, as a junior would go first, and then Veronica, and then myself, and that's all in the space of sort of like 2 hours. So for a mechanic to have all those three bikes ready within sort of the hour before, and then go up and with turbo trainers and have that level support that we run at, I think, or for anyone, I think it's so much to have more riders than three or four in a team. There's a lot out there that just have even one or two people as the team. So I think we're probably enough in terms of the people involved at the moment, but that being said, when it comes, it's finding the balance. From my point of view, it'd be there's 10 people, there's more than 10 people that actually could do with the support and deserve it. That's always the way it's going to be, I think. But yeah, you can't support everyone, otherwise it won't be as worth it for the other athletes or for everyone as a whole. So I think three athletes is pretty good for us. it's nice to be able to support. From my point of view, it's great to be able to support Veronica at the top level of the sport. Obviously, she's third in the world and thriving for more. So it's awesome from that point of view. And then certainly not to belittle Chris, but he's obviously a junior. He's new to the sport, and it's amazing to be able to support a young talent like himself coming into it. But then I also have to think about, at the moment, racing myself as well. So that's three of us. And I think three is enough at the moment in terms of riders. But we'll see. You never know, and you never say no. There's, like, with my coaching that I do, I'm coaching a couple of guys that are sort of like 13, 14 years old, that are insanely good talents. So it would be nice to help them when the time comes for them to come into the World Cups. There's no doubt about that. And we'll see how we shape up when it comes to there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Harry, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, and best of luck to you and your team this year and next year as well.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you asking me to come on. And thanks for the luck. We'll take it and see what we can do with it. There's no doubt.
Great. Cheers.